Adventures of Civilization. Presented by Dr. Norby DeMaria. Breton, that land of granite covered with oaks, might well be proud of its illustrious son, René Theodore Laennec, who was born on February the 17th, 1781. For he was destined to become one of the greatest physicians in history, a man worthy to stand side by side with Hippocrates and Galen. He gave, amongst other things, to the world of medicine the infallible method of diagnosis by auscultation, by medium of his invaluable invention, the stethoscope. He also drew up the minute histories of nearly 400 cases of disease, amongst them being a treatise on hydatid cysts, tuberculosis, peritonitis, and heart disease. His mother died of tuberculosis when he was 6 years old, and the boy was sent to his granduncle, the Abbé Atelier. Here he remained for 5 years, and then went to finish his studies with Dr. Laennec, his father's brother. A few years later, while still a youth, we find him conversing with his uncle in the latter's study.
I have before me the report from your academy, René.
Did I please you, my uncle?
Nay, more than please me, my boy.
I am glad, for I have worked hard at my academic studies.
You have been very wise in doing so. But now you're really ready to begin the study of the higher sciences. A study upon which you will build the foundations of the medical career you have chosen. Tell me, my boy, why do you wish to become a doctor?
Because of my love of mankind, uncle. I have often watched you at work in your professional capacity. I've seen you going through the wards, tending the sick, gentle, always gentle. I've seen you turn your wonderful knowledge to the rescue of sorely stricken ones, bringing them back from the shadows and sending them out into the world again, walking firmly on two strong legs. My granduncle, the good abbe, has tried to cure the sickness of men's souls. But I say, cure a man's body first of its sickness, and the soul, in gratitude, will come of its own accord back into the fold.
Rather illogical, my boy. Man's memory is very short. His soul is usually ungrateful. Most times we cure his body only to have it returned to us for fresh repairs.
But, uncle, surely your patients are grateful to you for healing them?
Gratitude, like every other emotion, is transitory. Out of sight, out of mind. And most people haven't enough gratitude, nor common sense for that matter, to take care of themselves after we've made them whole again. They set about catching a new disease or a new sickness as quickly as they can. Sometimes accidentally, but more often through carelessness. Of course, there are some diseases which strike down the most careful and the healthiest of people. Tuberculosis is one.
Yes. My dear mother died of tuberculosis, and I intend to make a study of that particular disease. I'm going to find a cure for it, Uncle.
There is no cure for it, Rennie. No one knows exactly what it is or anything about it, except that it attacks the lungs. And as we can't study the lungs whilst the patient is alive, well...
But has anybody tried to study the lungs of a living patient, Uncle?
It would be futile to try, my boy, for no man can see what lies within the body without an autopsy.
But he could hear. Surely there would be something, some sound in the patient's breathing that would indicate what organic instrument was out of order, be it the heart or the lungs.
If some method could be devised, Rennie, physicians would be furnished with the means of studying the action of both the heart and lungs and every sound produced by the motion of all the thoracic viscera, and consequently would be able to explore the respiration, the voice, the development, and possibly the cure of diseases of the heart and lungs. Sight and touch have already been developed in the service of medical diagnosis, but we still lack the most important sense of all, hearing. If you can supply this long-felt want, then you will open up a new world of knowledge. It will be the greatest discovery of the century.
Then, when I have completed my studies, I will devote every moment, every hour, every year of my life, if necessary, to the search that will lead to the discovery of diagnosis by auscultation.
In 1800, Laennec went to Paris and later secured the two first prizes for medicine and surgery at the University of Paris. Here he met and studied under Corvisart, the personal physician of the Emperor Napoleon. For 10 years, Larnach devoted himself to hospital patients and treated many of Napoleon's soldiers, which brought about his meeting with the little general. It happened one day in the military ward of the hospital. Larnach was at the bedside of one of the men when Napoleon entered with Corvisart.
Dr. Larnach, is it true that the Emperor visits the ward?
Yes, my friend, it is the Emperor.
I fought for the Emperor in the Austrian campaign. Yes, I even crossed the Alps with him. I'd fight for him again.
And I'd be proud to lead you, my man.
Tis he, the Emperor. I salute you, mon petit corporal. Would that I could look upon your face again. But I can't. I can't.
What's the matter with him, Doctor?
He is blind, sire. Severe head wounds are the cause of it.
His name?
Jacques Lescaut, sire.
Jacques Lescaut? I must remember and have a suitable pension awarded him.
What would be a poor recompense for his sight, sire?
Commissar, you take more liberties than I would permit even my own brother.
Oh, I speak the truth, nevertheless. Surely, sire, there has been enough bloodletting. Why don't you rest on the laurels you've earned? Why continue to sacrifice human life in this stupid pursuit of vainglorious empty power?
I'd have you thrown into prison if I could find another physician as good as you, Commissar. But I can't. So I must put up with your insolence. Who is this young man here?
He is Dr. Rennie Larnach, sire. A brilliant pupil of mine. We expect great things from him.
Oh, you do? Well, he looks as though a good feed would do him good. An army fights on its stomach.
And a doctor's battle, sire, are fought on the stomachs of his patients.
In 1812, Larnach was made physician to the Beaulieu Hospital in Paris. 4 years later, he was transferred to the Necker Hospital, where students flocked from all over the world to his clinical lectures. And in spite of rather delicate health, Larnach fulfilled his duties of physician and professor scrupulously. It was here he made his great discovery of diagnosis by auscultation. He was consulted by a very fat young woman.
And Dr. Larnach, I feel I can't get my breath properly. And when these attacks come on, all my left side seems to go dead.
Obviously, you're half Mimser. I'd like to examine you. Could you remove your coat, please?
Certainly, Doctor. There you are.
You're very much overweight. It's going to be difficult to hear the beating of your heart.
Yes, Doctor. I'm too fat altogether. Some doctors lay their heads on their patients' chests and...
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid that in your case, mademoiselle, it could be impossible.
Oh, I didn't mean that. I wanted you
No, no. Quite so. Now, I wonder how I can listen to your heart. By Jove, I have it. Nurse.
Yes, doctor?
Bring me a sheet of stiff paper, please. And hurry, will you?
Yes, Dr. Lyman. What is the paper for, doctor?
Well, it's a simple, well-known fact in acoustics, mademoiselle, that we hear a scratch of a needle at one end of a piece of wood on applying our ear to the other.
But are you going to scratch
me? No, of course not.
The paper, Dr. Larnach.
Oh, thank you, nurse. Yes, this will do. Now we'll just roll it into a cylinder. So. And I'm going to place one end of this cylinder to the region of your heart. So. And put my ear to the other end.
Can you hear my heart beating now?
Oh, quiet, doctor. Please, quiet. Perfectly quiet. Remarkable. Remarkable. Nurse, call Dr. Portal.
Very well, doctor. Could you hear it, doctor?
Perfectly. More clearly than I've ever heard by the immediate application of my ear.
You sent for me, Dr.
Larnach? Yes, come here, Portal. I want you to listen to this patient's heart beating through this paper cylinder.
And what joke is this, Larnach?
No joke. Please do as I request. You'll be rather amazed, I'm thinking. Now, just hold it so and put your ear there.
Larnach, your discovery is remarkable. I was amazed to hear all the variations in the air-carrying tubes and the orifices of the heart. It should prove priceless in the diagnosis of pulmonary and cardiac diseases.
Yes, Dr. Portal. Today is the first time in medical history that we've been able to hear the cry of the suffering heart and lungs.
Larnach, this discovery will make you one of the greatest physicians in history. It ranks you with Hippocrates and Galen, Harvey and Sydenham. Of all the brilliant men whom Breton has given to science, you are the most brilliant. To think that this little paper cylinder should have such priceless potentialities. The simplicity of it. You'll have the scientists kicking themselves because it never occurred to them. Have you decided upon a name for this remarkable instrument of paper?
Yes, Dr. Pavel. I've been thinking that out. I will call it the stethoscope. And I'm going to make the next model out of thin wood. By its use, the physician will be endowed with one sense more, the sense of hearing. And with his power of investigation materially increased, he will be enabled to hear the alterations hidden in the depths of the organs of the human body. It will show him the difference between the sounds produced in health and disease by the heart and the lungs. It will enable him to cure more readily, for his ear will open a new world in medical science.